This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Here's another clip. She's kind of getting frustrated that things aren't going quite the way that they should with the ghost of her brother on the other side looking at things. And why? Why? How could this possibly be that things aren't going good with the ghost that's supposedly interacting on their mission to hide the bodies of the children and their former spouses? Let's take a look.
I want to know why that is 100% instead of 3% chance of having a problem.
I think he was somewhat right in that. The other aspect was other people. It was a combination.
I know it was a combination of other problems of the location, but what I'm saying is that it's a combination of only, you know, five problems.
I agree.
That was a big one.
It was a big one. Uh-huh.
My faith in those kinds of guarantees are lower. And beggars can't be choosers, I get that. But you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's not like I get to pick the colors of everything that I want. He's just going to have to figure it out.
Right.
Since I'm here and I can't be in charge of the project. So.
Yeah. I've thought back on that entire scenario.
When we went over the plan and the blueprints. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said that wouldn't be a problem.
Right. To take all that. That was that.
It really was.
Right.
No, I don't doubt that. It's just strange how it blossomed. So
go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so you think it was meant to have complications and meant to go that direction?
At some point, yeah.
Well, then you should have said, hey, this is a 99% chance that we're going to have trouble with this soil.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's all we were asking.
Well,
could this potentially be good, or do we have to fill it with sand?
Well, I think we sensed that we shouldn't take it lightly, and I don't think we did. I mean, we only discussed the matter with the trouble once, and I thought we cut it off and did well, and now that problem is kind of causing its own trouble for itself.
Right. But there's other things in the project where when I'm going back over it, right, that I could have easily done or been inspired to do to avoid a lot of the issues that are going to come up with that.
Yeah.
That we weren't made aware of. So you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently outside of jail, you can't talk to the ghosts, but Chad can. For whatever reason, I it's a weird like power dynamic. You can tell she's upset that she's not the one in power as she had been before, but I don't know why she couldn't be. We're talking about ghosts. You know, why does he have the ability outside? Couldn't she still be relaying the messages? I don't know.
See, that's to my point,
yeah,
Tony,
right.
That she knows it's a bunch of rubbish. She also really admits there that she was the one in charge. And you can tell just by how they communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. She's the one upset. She's the one directing conversation. She's the one pressing everything. And he sounds like he's just a blob around for, you know, the manipulation.
Yeah.
That's how it appears to me. The other point I was going to make, Tony, is if she really thought this was God inspired and that they had done nothing wrong, then why did she fight so hard to get the death penalty off the table?
True. Yeah, that's a good point, because if she doesn't care about that, why don't you like, yeah, take me. I'm ready to go. I don't belong here anymore.
Remember she gets to live and, you know, as a princess or whatever.
Exactly. A part of the blueprint, part of the plan. And it just doesn't seem to work out too well. Let's listen to this other one. This is retired FBI agent Doug Hart reading some of the text from Chad to Lori. And it again, just shows just kind of how dark Chad was getting and doing Lori's bidding.
On July 29th of 2019.
Who were the messages being exchanged between?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
What about these particular messages caught your attention?
At this particular time in the investigation, Lori Vallow, Melanie Boudreau, and their children, as well as Alex Cox, had decided to take a trip to the California coast. And so these messages were sent to Lori Vallow as they were driving in the car as Lori Vallow, Melanie Boudreau, Alex Cox, and the children were driving to California. And so Chad Daybell makes an offer to Lori Vallow to cause pain to the two, quote, threes that she was riding with.
Threes, I think, referring to the spiritual level or the darkness level that he was assigning to people. He's just ready and willing to do whatever.
Yeah, there's no doubt who's in charge, who's manipulating who, and who's calling the shots. That's how I see it anyway. And, she became frustrated when she got locked up, but I don't think the message or who was in charge ever really changed.
Yeah, the more we listen to this, the more I think you're right. I do think Chad did have a little bit, he's a little bit more than just the oaf that I thought he was, though, judging by how he continued to kind of move things along somewhat outside. I guess I'm a little bit surprised by that. But yeah, Lori just continues to have her control no matter where she's at. I don't think this is ever going to end well, obviously, for Chad. Do you think we're going to get the death penalty in this now that this has been just played out in such gruesome detail?
I do. And I know we've discussed before whether that will, hold up. Mm-hmm. They'll have, decades to discuss it because we know how slow the process is. But I think he will get the death penalty.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.